Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Tuesday post-Memorial Day edition RotoWire Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. As is typical on Tuesdays, I'm your host, Jake Letarski, joined today by John McKechnie. If you're out there on Twitter, give John a follow, at Johnny McKex. Give myself a follow, at JakeSki52. Had a big weekend, John. What's the best part about Memorial Day weekend?
Well, there is a lot of great stuff going on. From a non-sports perspective, got to go to a Bratfest here in town on Sunday. That was a lot of fun. Many beers and bratwursts were consumed, and then there are a lot of great sports moments as well. I mean, Game 6 of the Thunder Warrior series was great, but I think my favorite moment was probably Chase Utley, just like the ultimate villain, you know, getting Syndergaard tossed from the game, coming up, everyone wants him to get plunked. First pitch he sees, no respect, home run. Like, that was just so, just pure evil and great. I loved it.
Yeah, a lot to like Memorial Day weekend. Of course, I had thought about going to Broadfest on opening night to see country legend Travis Tritt. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, didn't make it out that evening. otherwise, a busy weekend here. Of course, I really dig the Sunday night sports lineup for me personally. Well, sports plus Game of Thrones. I had Game of Thrones, oh, yeah. Kershaw on the mound, and a full night of UFC fights. So that was sports paradise for me personally. Of course, can't forget about the troops and everything that they do to serve the whole point of Memorial Day weekend in the first place. So big shout out to our armed forces here. Well, John, let's get into the baseball portion of our podcast. Hopefully the bulk here. We got a full slate of games Tuesday, all 30 teams in action after another pretty full slate on Memorial Day. We do break it up into two slates on FanDuel today. We've got James Shields and the Padres against Hisashi Iwakuma and the Mariners. That's on the early slate. We probably won't focus on that a ton. We've got Lance McCullers and the Astros against Patrick Corbin and the Diamondbacks, also on the early slate. Of course, Colby Lewis and the Rangers at Corey Kluber and the Indians. So those three games are going to kind of be separated to the early slate. We're going to try to delegate our picks here to the later slate of games here. But let's get things rolling, John, with some general cash game talk. We're talking about safe pitchers that can be used today, and you've got a pretty intriguing pick here. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Now, I'm going to go with Steven Matz here at 10,300, going at home against the White Sox. And I'm not really sure what has been going on with the White Sox of late. It seems like that Royals insane seven-run comeback on Saturday kind of just broke their spirit, as it were. I mean, they allowed Matt Harvey to kind of get off the schneid yesterday, and that was pretty surprising development. So I'm going to go back to the well there. I'm going to pick on the White Sox a little bit here. I respect that lineup in general, but slumping a little bit, so I'm going to go with Matz here. He's been really solid at home. The Mets are minus 168 favorites on the day, which is one of the better odds you're going to get for a starting pitcher. And Matz has just been really solid of late, going 7-plus in three of his last four starts, and he's had seven or more strikeouts in three of those last four starts as well.
Yeah, Matz, an intriguing option. I can see where you're coming from here. My biggest concern with Matz, though, is the Mets lineup on a whole here. Their lack of corner infielders means Eric Campbell, Trey Kelly getting a lot of play, Deaza, Flores. The offensive support does worry me a little bit.
Sure.
But it's very much the same case with the White Sox, who are sending Matt Latos to the mound. So even against that lineup, Matt Latos might have a tough time limiting the Mets offense there. Mm-hmm. Now, initially looking at the slate, my thought for a cash game pitcher was to go with my pick on the Padres pattern, Hisashi Iwakuma at 9,000. But of course, that's on the early slate, and a lot of us might not make it today. So I'm going to go ahead and transition it over to Jake Arrieta at 12,000. He's as safe as it gets, I think, on this slate, because two of your top tier pitchers, Jose Fernandez and Gerrit Cole, are squaring off against each other. So that's going to be a very tough one to pick a win. Sure. You already got the Mets picked down, so I'm going to go up to Arrieta. 12,000. His price isn't as terrible as it has been so far. Dodgers, I'm going to trust Vegas on this one. The Dodgers are not expected to win this game. Cubs are -208 favorites. So that alone gives me enough win probability. And you know what you get with Arrieta. Just the stellar ERA, limiting his base runners, and of course, big time potential for strikeouts there. So
just dominant.
Yeah, you know, he's not Kershaw priced at 13,000 or greater, but at 12,000, he can still give you some options. So most of my cash games are going to be featuring Arrieta, just because I don't know about the Mets offense and the Fernandez Cole matchup. Like, the two of them really limits each other's win probability there. So that's what I'm digging for the cash games today. Jake Arrieta, John, going with Steven Matz here. If you're listening to this podcast, you know how much John and I love daily fantasy baseball and love talking to you about it. We want to deliver great content to our listeners, and the best way to do that is to learn more about you. In order to do that, we've created a survey that's quick, anonymous, and you'll have a chance to win a Google Chromecast just for helping out. I use my Google Chromecast all the time. We've got a couple in the office. Good stuff there. To get that, visit mylistenerstudy.com and tell us about yourself. Easy as rating and reviewing the podcast. That's mylistenerstudy.com. We'll learn more about you, and you'll get a chance to win a Chromecast, what I call a win-win situation. Again, that's mylistenerstudy.com. Thank you, listeners. Well, John, let's move on to the hitter portion of the podcast here. We'll kind of hint at some stacks and whatnot, but for the most part, we'll start it off by going with a breakdown position by position here. So starting at the catcher spot, who are you kind of trying to target tonight, John?
Okay, this is the start of a theme for me on today's podcast. It's a little bit out there compared to where we'll usually go. I'm going with AJ Pierzynski of the Braves at 2,200. Now, this is a bit of a punt play, but there's some factors going in his advantage and the Braves' advantage today. I mean, you're going to have Jake Peavy on the hill in Atlanta. So, you know, Pierzynski's going to be at home. He's got a 5 for 17 career batting average mark against Jake Peavy. You know, at 2,200, you know, you have a decent sample size to work with here. I mean, you're not going to expect a ton out of Pierzynski tonight, but if he is in the lineup, he's definitely a viable guy at 2,200. That's so cheap. You really are able to kind of stack your lineup elsewhere. So I'm going to go with the veteran AJ Pierzynski here.
Yeah, I like Pierzynski, but you're going to want to double check those RotoWire lineups here beforehand, because I know Pierzynski typically sometimes the backup to Tyler Flowers, and he has started on back-to-back days. And, of course, I believe the Braves played it was a couple of late afternoon games in a row. So I don't know if they'll lean on the veteran there heavy. There's a chance Tyler Flowers gets that start. But either way, whatever, I mean, any Braves are going to be in play against Peavy, who's just he's one more blow-up away from getting bumped from that rotation there.
We keep saying it, but we still get to face Peavy every week, it seems. So it's kind of nice. I'll take it.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing with Willy Peralta, the Brewers, who is just like any day now he's going to get bumped from that rotation. But that happened. We should have a rotation grid, like starters to get bumped, like some sort of pool in the office. Whoever had the Phil Hughes square would have won that, with him getting bumped from the Twins rotation last week there for sure. But back on topic here, I gotta check out the catcher position. My guy for Tuesday is going to be, I'm going to go back to that Milwaukee Brewer well. There's going to be a lot of Cardinals we'll recommend in this game. But on the Brewer side, I do like Jonathan Lucroy at 3,600. He has a long history against Mike Leake, who he faced many times while with the Reds. Now, Great American Ballpark may have something or another to do with that. But Lucroy has a 1.139 OPS over 32 at-bats, and he's been, especially with Braun out, he's been one of the few Brewers that can really hit consistently lately. Of course, Jonathan Villar having a pretty solid campaign as well. Maybe the Brewers get Braun back, and then then they have to pitch to Lucroy. They won't really have a choice.
Right.
But that shouldn't make a huge difference either way. I think Lucroy, I believe he's like the third or fourth price catcher on the slate, and he's someone that can at least get you a couple hits. So very high floor in cash games with the potential for a 25-30-point effort in tournaments.
Yeah, those Brewers have really put up some pretty gaudy numbers of late. So yeah. I think Lucroy is definitely a good choice here.
Yeah, it's definitely not the hitting that's at fault for their terrible record this year. Nobody can deny that here. Well, what about first base? Generally a position you want to pay up for. But, John, I see you've got a pretty nice value option for us.
I do. I'm going to go with Logan Morrison here at 3,100. Now, Morrison had about as poor of a start to the season as you're going to see, especially from a first baseman that, you know, was supposed to be kind of a big part of this Rays offense. But, you know, he's starting to turn things around a bit at the dish. He's slashing .435, .500, .652 in the last 2 weeks. So that's some pretty serious production there over, you know, that 2 week span. He's going to be going against Dylan G, a guy that, allows a .333 batting average against to left-handed batters. So I think the matchup is super favorable in this case, in addition to the fact that Morrison is definitely trending in the right direction. So at $3,100, that's kind of a nice bargain play to allow you to really pay up elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't have the exact stats in front of me right now, but the April-May splits are absolutely ridiculous for Morrison. It's something crazy to look at if you're thinking about using him. So I jump on that. I bought him in our stake league just because I wanted to, this is a season-long league now, because I wanted to get, you know, some hitters that are consistent, because it's a 17-man league and you need pretty much anyone that starts, it gets a roster spot here. Haven't put him in my lineup yet and starting to regret that, because he's been providing steals and home runs in over the past week, which is not generally characteristic of him. Staying on the first base side, though, if you're going to pay up for any kind of first baseman today, I do not think you can go wrong with Joey Votto at Coors Field. His price is below 4,000 now. He sits at 3,800. Of course, some well-documented struggles here, but mashed a couple doubles yesterday, I believe, and he's just... he's just as solid as they come, as safe as they come. The biggest question is the possibility of rain at Coors Field, so you're going to want to double-check those weather reports. If, for example, Votto doesn't play, or that whole game with the highest over-under of the day of 11 is rained out...
oh, that'd be a bummer.
I'm turning to the Cardinals' lefties, especially Matt Adams at 3,400. Again, they'll get a chance to tear up Willie Peralta again in a hitter-friendly ballpark at Miller Park, so you get the ballpark boost there as well. If you can't quite afford Matt Adams at 3,400... can't go wrong with Brandon Moss either at 3,100. Unfortunately, they're both first base only eligible on FanDuel, so you're going to have to make a decision there. I would lean towards Adams. He's been hitting pretty well, especially right-handed pitching. But again, Moss not a bad. And over to the Keystone, John. You've got a couple plays down here, or at least one main one here. Who are you looking at?
I'm going to go with Neil Walker here at 3,000, going against Matt Latos. You know, from their days in the NL Central, Neil Walker actually has a pretty large track record against Latos from, you know, Pirates and Reds days. He's got 2 home runs and 25 career at bats versus Latos. And also, Latos is a guy that's really come back to earth, sort of how we mentioned with Morrison's April-May splits. Latos's are trending in an opposite direction. He's really struggled of late. He's allowed 4 more runs in 4 of his last 5 outings, and he's given up 7 home runs in that stretch. And Neil Walker does provide that pop that you look for in terms of upside. When you're going with the middle infield, you know, you're not always going to get these guys that can put one out of the park, but Walker's definitely a guy that can, and he's proven that he can do it against Latos, and Latos is struggling. So 3,000, it's a nice, you know, mid-tier option for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of second basemen I like today, Walker being one of them. I would argue that $3,000, I might lean towards maybe Brian Dozier a little bit. He's going against lefty Eric Sirkamp, who has been dreadful as advertised this season. A 6.55 ERA, and there's nothing fluky about that, backed up by a 6.70 FIP. 5 starts, he's made it a total of 22 innings and strikes out less than 5/9. Ooh. So that's the book on Sirkamp. So I think anyone in the Twins lineup, especially those right-handers, are in play. So I like Dozier there. But I also think second base is an excellent way to save some money today by going with a guy like Devin Travis. He got the day off Monday, so he'll probably be back in the lineup here, again returning from injury earlier this season. Mm-hmm. Devin Travis just 2,200, so I think a Blue Jays stack, especially Blue Jays right-handers against CC Sabathia, are as good as it gets here, and Travis at 2,200 gives you a way to do that. Then finally, one other second baseman I want to work into the mix, because he's worth a mention. If you get a chance to play the early slate, I don't know how you can go anyone other than Robinson Cano. Yeah, 4,400 is quite pricey, but 4.11, 4.42, 7.22 is his career slash line over 90 at-bats against James Shields. Shields surely isn't trending in the right direction this year at all. So it's not like he's going to get the better half of those numbers. Cano's probably a lock in the early games here. What about the hot corner, though, John?
I'm going to go with, you know, as we've talked about, Cardinals versus Brewers game, definitely want to target today. I'm going to go with Matt Carpenter at 3,500. Now, that's a pretty affordable price for the kind of upside that Carpenter has. He's been pretty hot of late, and his lifetime numbers against Peralta are ridiculous. He's 16 for 35. That's a 457 batting average, and his OPS is 1.354. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So he's going to be hitting in a favorable part of the order. He'll either be leading off or somewhere in that middle third, and or opening third. So I really like Carpenter here tonight. I think he's really going to, you know, tear it up. He's gonna have, like, you know, anywhere between 20 and 30 points, in my opinion, almost on a lock here.
Yeah, right on. I do really like Carpenter. I think that out of all the potential plays, Carpenter might be the biggest value on the slate, even with that price tag. You got a lefty getting plenty of at-bats against Willie Peralta, so you got to look at Carpenter, no matter who you're using as your pitcher, because that's one place that you might want to pay up a little bit there. I want to throw in another option. A little bit dealing with a knee injury, so you're going to want to watch that. Trevor Plouffe kind of has that sprained MCL, but he did work his way into the lineup for a pinch hit appearance on Monday. Yes, that was correct, on Monday. And he sits at only 2,500 if he's in the lineup. Even if he's not at 100%, I think he's a decent play against Eric Surkamp. Again, picking on the A's with a little bit of a twin stack today. And, of course, you can never... Whenever the Blue Jays face the lefty, 100% of the time, Josh Donaldson is in play no matter what. And one way or another, Josh Donaldson has trickled down to the fourth third baseman in terms of price. So Chris Bryant, Nolan Arenado, Anthony Rendon, all above 4,000. Then you get Josh Donaldson at 3,900 at the Rogers Center against CC. I'd say you have almost better than a 50-50 chance at a home run from Donaldson tonight. You can't go wrong there.
I agree.
All right. What about shortstop, John?
I'm going to go with Didi Gregorius here at 2,700, going in that same game, going against the Blue Jays. And generally, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go with a lefty when he's facing a left-handed pitcher, as the Yankees are tonight against J.A. Happ. But Didi's one of these rare guys that actually thrives against southpaws way more than he does against right-handers. So he's 2,700, and he's batting more than 100 points better against left-handers, a 356 average against lefties. Ooh. And he has a 223 average against right-handed pitchers. So, I mean, that's a pretty serious, you know, day-night type of split there. And I think that, you know, most people will see just lefty-lefty matchup and just kind of pick elsewhere from that shortstop pool. But I think take a look at the numbers. Gregorius against lefties is actually an excellent play. And at 2,700, you're not really paying a whole lot for it either.
That's pretty crazy, because you're going to get Didi at a very low ownership percentage, because a lot of people will look at that platoon matchup and be like, nope, I'm out. They won't do that second level of research at all. And they might miss out on an opportunity here. For my shortstops, I'm looking to kind of save salary at this position. There are some good plays today, but you can't get a $3,900 play at every position, unfortunately.
True.
So I'm going to look towards a guy like Eduardo Escobar of the Twins, $2,000 punt play, again, picking on Surkamp. Also, picking on CC Sabathia, like I mentioned earlier, Darwin Barney is going to be the everyday shortstop for the Blue Jays. At least that's going to be the initial plan.
Right.
He's going to get those starts over Ryan Goins here now that Devin Travis is back at second base and Troy Tulowitzki is on the disabled list.
Mm-hmm.
Barwin 2,400 against CC. I think you can't go wrong there here. Let's move on to the outfield, though, John. We've each got a couple of high-priced options and then some kind of mid-tier options. You have a unique high-priced option that I was pretty high on Monday. Didn't really come through to me. You want to tell me about what you think about Yoenis Cespedes today?
Sure. I mean, Cespedes has definitely slumped a little bit of late, and, you know, I think that's definitely reflected in his price at $3,800. You know, he's a guy that you've seen be at the top of the outfield price range in terms of salary for a good portion of this year. But I think Tuesday he's at 3,800. That's a pretty solid deal for Cespedes when you're thinking about a guy that really has, you know, mid 4,000 potential. He's going against a guy in Latos, like I've mentioned, has struggled a bit of late. So I think Cespedes is going to be able to turn around a little bit tonight. And I think, you know, people might be scared off by the slump. And with that lower ownership than usual, mm-hmm, I'm going to try to take advantage of that. Use Cespedes here. And then a couple of my mid-tier options here as well. I'm coming with Nick Markakis at 3,100 going against Jake Peavy, like I've mentioned. Jake Peavy has a 4.02 batting average against on the road this year, and his ERA is at 10. That is not a misprint. That is a 10.0 ERA on the road.
Double digits.
Pretty good. And then we got, you know, Markakis is 7 for 21 lifetime against PV. He really shouldn't have much of a problem producing some points here at just 3,100, coming in from the middle of the lineup. And then, as we've also already mentioned with this Brewers-Cardinals game, I'm going to go with Matt Holliday at 3,000. Holliday's starting to heat up, slugs 547 against right-handers, and hits in a favorable part of the lineup going against Peralta. He's clubbed 8 of his 9 home runs against right-handers this year. I really think that Holliday at 3,000 is a really nice value.
Yeah, right on. I'm a big favorite of all those picks there. One side comment I just want to throw out here. We're talking about picking on pitchers like PV and CC Sabathia in our SKL 2 league. Those are pitchers that, okay, I've already given up on competing this year. I've been trading for prospects. Those are pitchers I picked up and put in my lineup to make sure I get the number one pick in the reserve draft next year. I mean, that's really what we're dealing with here. And PV's 10 ERA, just dreadful.
The tank is on.
Yep, guys to pick up or to target, at least in this type of context here. I got to go with my outfielder. 3,900, Carlos Gonzalez is a lock for me.
Oh, yeah.
Cargo's got to be used as long as the game is being played. Once again, double check on the rain percentage there. We had a little bit more than a 50% chance last time I looked before hitting the record button here today. So keep an eye on that. But at 3,900, you've got Cargo going against a right-hander in John Moscott. There's just a lot to like about that matchup in general. And once Moscott gets bounced after 3-4 innings, then you've got the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball by
far margin.
For several more at-bats. So, you know, the Rockies will probably find themselves scoring 10-12 runs tonight, and Cargo should have a big piece of that. I'd say he's as chalk as it gets with, I'm calling at least 25-30 fantasy points minimum tonight. So
there we go.
Really liking Cargo. Of course, if you're taking my advice, going Blue Jays stack, you got to consider Jose Bautista against CC Sabathia. But at 4,600, it's going to be very tough to find value and work him in. So worth a mention here, but you're going to pay up for your Donaldsons and Bautistas, which is why you maybe kind of got to go cheaper with your Barneys or your Escobars or you know, just some cheap options in there. Sure. As far as other outfielders, Corey Dickerson gets a favorable matchup here against Dylan G, just 2,600. You got to throw out Mickey Maddux from the Rays there as well, going against G, just $2,000. If he's in the lineup, I can think of a lot worse can't think of too many worse punt plays than that.
Sure,
I'd go with him. Otherwise, kind of throwing it on your Brave stack, Ender Inciarte at 3,200. Got to find a way to get him in there as well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of alluded to chalk plays for your hitters. You got to pick one chalk play for the day, someone that you're going to stick across almost all of your lineups. Who's that going to be for you, John?
I'm going to go with Carpenter. I mean, those career numbers against Peralta were just so eye-opening. Plus, Carpenter, he's just been on fire of late, so I really can't go away from him. Plus, like you mentioned, his value is pretty ridiculous at 3,500. You know, he's producing like a $4,000 player at this point, so I'm definitely going to go with Matt Carpenter here as my chalk guy.
Yeah, you know what? My chalk guy is not going to change from our Ralph Wiggum chalk play during Monday's morning press here. I'm going back to the Cargo train against John Moscott, as I mentioned earlier. But Matt Carpenter, a very fine play if that game ends up being rained out. Now, John, what about your favorite stack of the day? If you had to pick one team that you're going to stack or even a couple options here, who are you going with?
As our listeners can probably glean from how we did the positional breakdown, I really like those Cardinals left-handers against Peralta. And I really like pretty much any Brave going against Jake Peavy. And with the Brave, with kind of using a Brave stack or even a mini stack, you're going to get some guys that probably aren't going to be very highly owned and have like a lot of room to just for profit. So I'm going to go with a little bit of Braves here and then definitely Cardinals lefties.
Yeah, you know, I just have a feeling about this Blue Jays offense, the way that they mash left-handed pitching. And CC's actually been exceeding expectations a little bit, at least in my book. But
yeah, is he like Bartolo Coloning right now? Just kind of figuring it out
something
late in his career?
He's getting it right. 2.83 ERA backed up by a 2.99 FIP.
Wow.
So that's impressive. What concerns me, at least a little bit, is a 2.3% home run to fly ball rate. That's going to come back down to earth eventually.
Right.
And that's why I'm going to pick out a bunch of Blue Jays tonight. You can use four of them. I'm going to see if I can do, if I'm not using Carpenter, I'm going to see if I can work in Donaldson, Bautista, and then Barney and Travis just to kind of balance it out and get a piece of all bits of that order. So I really dig that Blue Jays stack against CC tonight. But again, it ain't for the faint of heart because CC has been putting up respectable performances this year. On the note of stacks, though, I want to talk about the highest over-under games. You've got Reds at Rockies with an over-under of 11, something at Coors Field. Again, watch out for rain in that game. Also on the early slate, you've got Astros at Diamondbacks, over-under of 9. You got McCullers versus Corbin there, again, on the early slate, so probably not going to be able to exploit that for the evening matchups. But one you can exploit is Cardinals at Brewers, over-under 9. Mike Leake, Willie Peralta, should be some runs scored in Miller Park at that game.
Yep.
Well, MLB season is here, and that means daily fantasy baseball is back. Go to FanDuel.com to play now. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and sit back tonight and watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1, so anyone can play. That is FanDuel.com. Remember to enter the promo code ROTOWIRE. All right, tournament flyers today, John. Got a couple unique options here that we want to kind of take a look at here. Again, we're shooting for real cheap pitchers that you can used to afford those Rockies or Reds or Blue Jays stacks or even Cardinals stacks that tend to get pretty pricey. If you're going to try to do that today, what pitcher are you targeting?
I'm going to go with Matt Whistler of the Braves at 6,600 at home, going against the aforementioned Giants with Jake Peavy opposing him on the hill. Now, I understand that picking a Braves pitcher just generally isn't the best strategy based on win probability alone, but I've had some luck this year with Whistler, and it seems like his price on FanDuel hasn't really caught up to his production. I know that usually when you and I are doing these tournament flyers, it's very rare that we find someone under like the 7,400 price range that you actually feel pretty confident
that's
can get
even out. Viable in the first place.
Exactly.
You're normally under that price range, you're looking at a punching bag that's going to give up five or more.
Yeah, you're just hoping that like their offense backs them up or something like that.
Something crazy.
But in this case, I really like Whistler. I really like what he's been able to do. And I know that his home stats aren't as good as his ones on the road, but you got to take those with a grain of salt because they're inflated by his first start of the year where he allowed four runs to the Cardinals, and then he gave up five runs to Boston, who probably has the best offense in baseball. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to count those home splits too hard against him right now. So at 6,600, you're getting a steal in terms of his talent, and then it's going to be one of those rare once-in-a-blue-moon type things where the Braves really have a chance at winning tonight going against Peavy.
Mm-hmm. I like all of that rationale, and I could see Whistler. I think Whistler probably brings you a little bit more upside in terms of my tournament play, but I'm going to throw out another $6,600 option that might be a little bit safer. I don't know if I want to completely come out on a limb and say that yet, but there's a reason that I really like Mike Leake at $6,600 at the Brewers. Now, we mentioned that being a game to target, being over-under-wise. That being said, the Cardinals are -142 favorites. And then go ahead and take a look at Leake's game log. He's got 30 or more FanDuel points in four straight, so he hasn't been killing anyone. And over that span, he's got marks of 42 and 48, yet we still haven't seen much of a price increase on that. So you have to take that into play. I think part of the reason he's a cheaper pitcher is because he doesn't have really much strikeout potential. He isn't regarded as that. You know, 4, 5, 6 Ks is maybe his ceiling.
Whistler's a bit similar in that regard as well.
Exactly. But if you're going to go with a pitcher like that, try to pick out an opponent in Milwaukee. Now, the Brewers have put together some solid offensive performances this year, but when it's all said and done, they still lead the league with a 25.9% K rate on the season. Mm-hmm. So if there's any team that you're going to turn an average of 4 or 5 strikeouts into 6, 7 strikeouts, it's probably going to be the Brewers, a couple other candidates, you know, maybe the Astros or the Padres or even the Braves might be up there. But the Brewers striking out a ton. And then there's a reason the Cards are -142 favorites, and the biggest reason that jumps out to me is Willie Peralta being so dreadful this season. He's probably, if you looked at the, we got to generate a list of odds for who's the next up for a demotion to the bullpen.
We really do.
Because Willie Peralta's there, if not minor leagues. I don't know what council and the Brewers are going to do with him. He seems to have lost all the magic that he had a couple seasons ago. So Mike Leake, win probability, a lot going on. Plus, Ryan Braun's still kind of dealing with that back issue. We don't know for sure if he'll be back in the lineup there.
Right.
So I know I was kind of contradictory picking Jonathan Lucroy and Mike Leake today, but, I mean, you could go either way, and Mike Leake will give up some hits, so I guess there's a chance you could do both. You know, probably don't want to do both in the same lineup, but at 6,600, I like what Mike Leake brings to the table there. So just to cap things off for cash games tonight, John's a fan of Steven Matz. I'm a big fan of Jake Arrieta. And then we go to tournaments. John likes Matt Whistler. I like Mike Leake. Hitters, I got to go with Cargo for me. of course, watch the weather. Matt Carpenter as well for John here. Before we sign off, just want to do a quick weather summary. Giants at Braves, 54% chance of rain that day. Doesn't necessarily mean it's likely to be delayed, but there could be some rainfall there. Dodgers at Cubs, also a 51% chance. Rays at Royals are listed in a pretty good chance of rain out on our site. Only a 30% chance of rain, but the issue there is thunderstorms that could be moving in and out. So definitely going to want to monitor that game. And then, of course, you mentioned this a few times, Reds at Rockies with the best odds at 56% chance of rain. So keep an eye out on those weather reports before you go ahead and push the lock on those daily lineups. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening to the RotoWire Daily Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Remember once again that first-time FanDuel users that make a deposit of $25 or more via RotoWire can get 6 months of complimentary access to our website. Otherwise, just check out RotoWire.com on your own. Go to RotoWire.com/pod. That's RotoWire.com/POD. Once again, I'm Jake Letarski. You can give me a follow at JakeSki52.
And I'm John McKechnie. You can find me on Twitter at Johnny McKex.
The RotoWire Daily Fantasy Baseball Podcast will return Wednesday with Benny Riccardi and James Seltzer.